Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
We made some tough decisions, and everybody on the show is sacrificing right now, and we want to keep the show going. That's our priority. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to do. I said it to people. That's it. And then, you know, I also said as far as the, you know, there was one particular post that was out there that was talking about Rob being the engine of the, Oscar being the engine of the show, Rob being the heart of the show. And, you know, I said, you know, I'm over here going, well, how about your boy?
Yeah.
How about your boy, bitch? How about me sitting over here?
They don't call it cabin for anything, you know?
Butler, yeah. It's been a long time.
Butler. Cabin. Butler.
Long time.
Butler.
It's a long time since they've given that place a proper wipe down.
They've got DNA from Ike there.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Yes, we are here. We are doing a show. We're very happy to be with you. It's a week that we all took, and it was lots of fun. And now we are here. We are here, and we are ready to go. And big news, it may look like I'm in one place, but I'm actually in another.
What?
Yes. I made the 28-hour drive over my vacation, because what better way to spend a vacation than in the car for two solid days? It was time. Let me see if this is working here. All right, that's not. Okay.
I'm actually curious, because when I left you, let's say on Wednesday or Tuesday of this week, you were still in Florida.
Right.
And
I was still in Florida.
The communication I got was like, hey, it looks like we're going to stay. We're going to ride this thing out. What changed in those 3 days?
10,000 cases.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know. I'm just curious.
No, we said, the day that we left, the day we decided to leave was Wednesday evening. Mm-hmm. And this was a direct quote to my wife. I said, okay, if there are more than 3,000 cases, we'll beat feet. I don't want to be down here with my son. It's getting crazy. It's moving over to the other side.
I've seen you use the same logic, Mike, in a casino. Like you say, if I can pull one more handle, then I'm going to stay here.
Yep.
But
so I said 3,000 cases. There were six.
Yes.
3,000 in your county or in the state?
In the state.
Okay.
And then we hit the road over this past weekend. There were 10. Then another 10, then 11,000 cases.
Yeah.
The state has exploded. But then it was a question of making the determination that, you know, traveling might in and of itself be problematic. And then that it's all playing the percentages. Like I played it like a hurricane. I think there's a hurricane coming down there, and some might say the hurricane's already begun to hit on the east coast of the southern part of the state, which is already showing some bending, as they like to say, by the medical system down there. And that's what worries me. I mean, it's not a question of you know, getting it. We put in protocols not to get it. What it is if you happen to get unlucky and, you know, be in that situation, you would be pressed to get the right kind of medical care. And that's what scared the hell out of us. And so to come up to an area that is not nearly as populated with a sorry, political people, with a Democratic governor who has put in protocols to keep people safer. But there's still hi, buddy. How are you?
It's showtime.
My water. There, he's out of here.
That's
he didn't
so
want to
sweet.
Come by and visit. But anyway, he was in the car with us. We were, the whole family was in the car. We beat feet at approximately, I want to say we were on the road by 5:30 a.m. on Thursday. We drove from Fort Myers, Florida to Richmond, Virginia on, thank you. By the way, it looks the same.
Go Rams.
It's amazing how that town looks the same. Yeah, with the Philip Morris Marlboro cigarette
actually,
sculpture.
Mike, you'll notice that some of the statues look different, but the city looks the same.
You think they would have changed that to a vape pen by now?
Yeah. It's not. It was a marathon. It was a marathon, trip to come up here.
You're pretty good, though, at the Exodus now, though, because you've done it enough times, right? You can pretty much pack up and get out of there.
Well, yeah. I sort of know how to do it. I got me into a bit of a situation by an over-reliance on technology. That's the way I would describe it. An over-reliance on technology. So here it is. I was going to take the northern route. Where you go above D.C., you go above Wilmington, you go above New York, and you come back, you come into New England through Connecticut, through the middle part of the state of New York.
Essentially, you're avoiding the 95 corridor. You're using other roads?
Yeah, you go through Charlotte, North Carolina, make your way up into Harrisonburg, Virginia, go by via Allentown, Pennsylvania, cut across the state of New York, and pick up 84 and then come in that way, avoiding all the hassles.
Wow.
So when we got to the route off of I-95, and for people that have driven this corridor, many of them have, many of them did this weekend, we'll know what I'm talking about. What happened was this. We were on route 95, and we were going to take an exit off of 95 to go to Charlotte, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina. And what happened was they had my little navigation system alerted me that we were going to go through Charlotte via route, I think it's 23. I hope I'm getting them right here. And I hope there are people that are having, 23. Oh, yeah, 23. Yeah. 23. And my little computer, my Google Maps, informed me that 23 was shut down because of an accident.
No.
And then it rerouted me. And so it rerouted me up 95 a little further. It was, 95 was 95-y, which kind of
always
tense.
Is.
It's crowded, always is, but not nearly what I expected it would be. And then it took
Have they continued to maintain the road? It's a beautiful road.
Just gorgeous. Two lanes. The American infrastructure.
Wonderful.
What could possibly be wrong?
Built
why
to
not
last.
Have why not have the main artery on the entire eastern seaboard of the United States be two crappy little lanes?
Right.
Filled. Don't get me started on the Carolina gas stations.
Oh,
where
the attitude
in Carolina is you might as well, really, I felt like, I think you might be more sanitary if you just made a rule that off of Route 95 in the Carolinas, you go with an open defecation rule. Why don't you just let people poop in fields?
A trough,
it would be cleaner.
Maybe,
it would be cleaner. Pee and poo in abandoned fields. Just pull off to the side of the road, squat. People look the other way. Don't have it done at a Pilot.
I have it done at
Pilot. No, you know what? I'm not going to slam Pilot because it was not a Pilot where I experienced this. It was another gas station, a mom and pop, a filthy mom and pop, dirty little mom and pop that don't have employees. Look, this is multiple times I've made this drive. I know what they do. They are not burdened with a zeal for cleaning their restrooms. They don't. Do it. I'm talking about there was stuff on the wall there that had been there since 1983.
Did mom and pop, should they invest in a field?
Have people and poop in the backyard.
Do you?
I'd rather do that than go into this tubercular. And by the way, I was tested. We'll get to that during the show. I was tested before I went into this particular restroom.
Do you recall?
And I am not kidding. Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Do you recall by the states? And look, I'm curious just in general about what the mask situation is and how that works.
I'll get to the mask in a bit because the masks
don't read
are
ahead.
The same. The masks, I think, are the same everywhere.
Oh, really?
Okay. At least my impression.
Okay.
Except on Hancock Point, where everyone wears masks.
Of course.
I get it. It's a,
Is it too much at Hancock Point?
No, it's not too much. No, but they're meticulous about it.
Yeah.
They're scared.
It sounds like a great place.
Yeah. Well, I'll get to it. So many nice things happened this weekend. On a politics level, sorry.
I'll give it to you.
So nice to be home. Really is. But getting back to the restroom situation. So there, I flashed back on a particular restroom. I want to say it was maybe a quick stop off of 95 where I had to go. You just have to go. We're doing
urgency.
We're doing 15 to 16 hours followed by 11 to 12 hours. So you're not, it's not like you choose where you're going to go. And when nature calls, it calls. This place, I flash back on this bathroom probably 5 or 6 times. I think I might have dreamt about it. It was like so horrible.
PSD?
And I said, if I got the COVID on the trip, that's where it happened.
Oh,
because
they
said, well, it doesn't stay airborne, but for a minute and a half. No, I think that the particles in this particular quadrant of this filth-laden convenience store probably hung in the air longer. I know the
place you mean, because I've stopped there, too. It's a convenience store and a gas station. It's called Droplets. And it's just off the road.
Droplets Convenience Store. You can get a honey bun that was baked. You can get a honey bun that was baked when Murder, She Wrote was shooting new episodes.
Have you ever pulled out of a, like, pulled into a gas station and then does it, I will go another 2 blocks?
Yeah, I've done that. This particular situation, though, was urgency. I will tell you that the privacy of the room was adequate. The privacy was adequate. The bowl itself was adequate. It was everything else. Once I sat down and I began to analyze the surroundings, is where I got
inside or
it
outside
makes me
of
almost
the
gag talking about it right now.
But you were invested.
You're right. What was that cough?
I don't know. I have some allergies, I think. Who knows?
I had one of my golfing buddies before I left that did that. I said, do we have to swab you? And he hurt his back too. So I said, do we have to swab you? He said, F off.
Oh,
he got a little tense because apparently he's had this cough for quite some time. But you know, why get checked?
Well, I'm glad I mentioned that. I've always made a rule that if it's inside the store, I'm okay. If it's outside the store, it has to be some sort of urgency. But that, I mean,
now when you say outside the convenience store, you mean the restroom where you have to go outside and like down on the outside of the city.
Yes.
Bingo.
That's the one where Rob Zombie hangs out. You know, that's the one where all the murders take place, right? It's always that kind of restroom
in Manassas off 28 and Battlefield Road. There's a Shell station, and I've stopped there if I had to, if it was urgent.
Right.
There, it was outside the store. They gave you the hubcap, walked around, no big deal.
Oh, it's so bad. You know, and the worst
like
thing,
a hall pass.
Yeah.
And you know, Oscar, just one quick aside. The worst thing is if you commit that you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go to the unattached bathroom. You go up, it's locked. Then you still have to go back in and say, may I have the key, please? Because then you've added a full minute because you're already in dire straits.
This Shell station had a bunch of nudie magazines in it. It was like somebody set up shop or they wanted people to do things in there that weren't supposed to be done.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was the times where you would test out your quad muscles. So you're like, I can't even sit on this thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's like, but what do you think happened in here last night? I'm wondering. wondering what happened in there. That's pretty mighty, mighty decent. Disgusting. It's nasty. So it was just filth like you wouldn't believe. And when we got off of 95, how did it work? The puppies, that's a whole different deal. The puppies had to be taken out and walked. And at some point I said, I looked at my computer in the car and I said to Carla, hey, look at that. Look at that. This diversion was not longer. It's actually helped take a shorter route.
Uh-huh.
This couldn't be better.
Win.
This
could
is
be a big
fantastic.
Win. Big win.
This is great. Well, I didn't realize. At that point, I stopped looking. I became a slave to my computer. I didn't pay attention to the map that I was looking at. I was just saying, wow, this 85 is fantastic.
Isn't this great?
It's fantastic. I was trying to use my thumbnail as a screwdriver, and I've just torn the crap out of my thumb. That's nasty. Oh, God. That's terrible. Anyway, sorry. getting back to what this was. And suddenly I said, this is really a beautiful part of North Carolina. This is like, this is where the seat of learning. They're probably, I'm talking to Carla, right? I'm giving you the,
right.
They're probably working on vaccines in this biomedical corner, right? You've got Duke University.
Very person, yes.
I said, this is great because we're driving
Tobacco
through.
Tobacco Road.
We're yes. driving through Chapel. Why are we driving through Chapel? We're not supposed to be in Chapel. We're supposed to be. And I realized, oh no.
Oh no.
I didn't want, my goal of this first leg of the trip was to avoid Richmond, D.C., Wilmington, Baltimore.
That standard corridor, yeah.
I didn't want anything to do with it. And I realized that this 85 is basically paralleling Route 95. And at this point, I said, well, fear not. I think we caught it in time. Mm-hmm. Let me pop back in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Another educational mecca.
Of course.
In the state of Virginia. And I look and... oh, that would take me 3.5 hours out of my way to get to that.
So that's no. Right.
We had a hotel reservation. We had to call that. By the way, and I booked hotels like everybody does on the road. You use a service.
Sure.
One of the hotels.travel Expedia Hotwire.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
the hell it is. And that, you know, say, well, we can't cancel it, sir. You got to go through. And it's like,
oh, no.
Due to increased call volume, your wait time is 7 days.
So, in any event, we switched. We were able to do it. Fleet of Foot, dog friendly hotel, right in Richmond, Virginia. As a matter of fact, I think it's Glen Arden, which is right outside of Richmond.
Sure.
On the other side of Richmond. And the following day, we decided. Okay, it's crack of dawn on Friday morning. Let's do 95. Mm. And we'll get off 95 when it becomes problematic. And to be honest with you, it didn't really become problematic. I'm talking Baltimore. I'm talking Wilmington. I'm talking New York City. I'm talking the piece of pavement I never go near, and that is the George Washington Bridge in New York City.
Wow!
And I am talking about Jerome Avenue in the Bronx, where we dropped off Mark Fiedelholtz when I was going to American University because he was an ass, and we didn't care if he got killed. We weren't worried about that. So,
but have you ever made that stretch of road without any incident like that? Just stayed on 95.
The only incident in 20 roughly. 27 to 28 hours of driving,
right?
Which you want to talk about jet lag in a plane? Try jet lag when you do that kind of driving. It was a smooth haul, with the only problem being when we got into my home state of Connecticut and drove through my father's workplace for 35 years, Hartford, Connecticut, and the skies opened up, and that was it. That was it. And of course it was going slow. There's no way it could have gone fast because of the amount of rain that we were getting. It was sheets of rain like hell, squall, squall, squall. That's it. Other than that, we zipped up here and we made the trip in 2 days, which is usually, I mean, to do it reasonably, it's usually a 3-dayer, but we did it in two. So
who did most of the wheel time? I know Carla does a lot of the driving.
We split it this time. I might have done a little more than she did this time. You know, with this intermittent fasting, I'll tell you, I've gotten a new form of energy.
Oh, look at you. Don't give us a number yet, Mike. Get your goal weight.
Love it's the post. Just
I'm just finding myself a little bit more energetic now.
We're happy something's working. That's important.
No, it's not working. I don't think I'm losing any weight.
All right.
You just feel good.
I'm not gaining any weight, and I'm also losing inches, and I'm also I would say newfound energy, although I passed out all weekend after we got up here. I
didn't. Well, 20 hours will do that.
It's so tranquil in Maine. It's wonderful.
It is tranquil. It is tranquil.
Nap environment.
It was not bad. So if you're keeping track of the trip, I think that they're recurring themes. Everybody knows Beamer drivers, BMW drivers. No offense to anybody in our audience. You know you're an a-hole.
It's the ultimate driving machine.
Yeah. The ultimate driving machine. Usually some 38 to 45 year old ass that's behind the wheel that's drive. Honda's kind of a wannabe vehicle. You know, when you've got the CR Dick, you know, and you're in front of me and you're driving that car, you're not. What are you doing there?
Yeah.
Get over.
Move it.
You're mid-size. Move to the right.
The engine in that car, I could mow my lawn with. Yeah. Get over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get over and deal with it. It's just, the four-cylinder engine that we have. But in general, outside of the disease-ridden restrooms in the Carolinas, I think it wasn't all that bad. It really wasn't. The food, you know, you're limiting yourself when you don't load up, unless you take a giant cooler.
Right.
You know, I have to say, at 61 years of age, I may be, or maybe it's this new way we're doing things. I'm just, fast food is, you know, it's fine when it's a treat, right? When you don't do it that often, but when you're using it for sustenance,
yeah.
After the second day of two, you know, meals of fat, it's just, especially when you break a fast after 18 hours and you want to have something good. There's nothing good. Our travel on the super slab known as I-95 is, you know, it's McDonald's and Wendy's and Kentucky Fried Chicken. And we don't, it's just where we're.
There isn't much variety as you head north.
Right.
No. It becomes homogenized. No. That's for sure.
Yeah. But you're not going to go into a restaurant anyway. So no. You can do that.
Like if you saw a Church's Chicken with a drive-thru, that'd be like winning the lottery.
Yeah,
you're not going to see
a Church's. The Church's Chicken that we passed was out of our little eating window.
Oh, that's it.
I forgot. Yeah.
Do you think
a whole
it would be
time
reasonable?
Window thing?
Let me throw this at you. Do you think it would be reasonable to suggest that a new culinary exercise of drive-in restaurants probably is going to. I think we're ready for mom and pop drive-throughs. I think we are. I think you got to do that. I think that's
for restaurants.
People just don't want to go in and sit down, right? I think we got to modify. We got to improvise and do that.
I like restaurants that have the cartoon size window that says carry out, and they like literally have a window that used to be a door, like a half window, and you just go and pick that up. Boom,
drop a window. Yeah, I mean, if we've learned anything this weekend, you don't want to go. You don't want to go inside. You don't want to do that, and you especially. And sometimes, as we discuss with Carolina restrooms, you don't want to go inside to for the food coming out the other side either. You don't want that to happen. And I'm trying to think if there was any food item.
You didn't get any boiled peanuts when you were in Georgia.
What is the deal with that too? That's all they sell. What is wrong with the Carolinas? Really? What is wrong? I mean, really, when you look at the leaders they have down there, I think maybe you kind of get it. You know what I mean? With the Carolinas,
you go into
boiled peanuts.
You go into a convenience store and they've got a crock pot that is really like a scent diffuser for a fart. And is it, you want boiled peanuts? No.
Boiled peanuts.
No boiled peanuts for me. Thank you. No.
Boiled peanuts. They're
boiled
delicious.
Peanuts. They sure
so,
boiled
so
peanuts.
You would pass restaurants that were maybe, I guess you had some curiosity of, and you couldn't eat because you were on your fast window.
Eating is like
food, but Oscar, it's still all the same crap. And Church's Fried.
But your dining is like your dining is like an algebra problem because it's got to be good food, it's got to be clean, it has to be convenient, it has to be in a time window. There's so many variants. It was a wonder you made it at all.
Yesterday we broke our fast with a lobster roll, which was about
heavenly.
And I am just delighted to be up here in the Pine Tree State and the Pine Tree State vacation land. I will say that traveling on a Friday, probably coming through right about rush hour on a Friday afternoon. No one. People were at their destination. The traffic was, of course, down because of everything that we are going through. And these are interesting times. And who would have thought that if we were back in March and you said July 4th weekend, we're going to be going through worse experiences than we had at the beginning. We're just not going to give a rat's ass. Who would have thought that? I wouldn't have predicted that. What were you going to say, Oscar?
I was going to add that. We've got Ponyboy in the control room right now, and Madeline Masiello is working from home. But before she left on, I would say Friday after work, we commiserated because we had thought that you were staying in Florida. And Maddie's like, you know, Unsolved Mysteries just came back out on Netflix. And so, which I, by the way, I've watched, I would say two or three episodes.
Oh, you already watched? You get them like as soon as they drop.
When they're number one trending in America, man, I have FOMO. Yeah, I have FOMO. I'm like, I got to watch it before anybody else watches it. It's good.
Let it me is just, pretty let me good. I've watched one of them.
I watched the David Foster documentary.
Pretty impressive. David Foster, Queen Bee. Like, he wrote a lot of hits.
Holy. Yes. Can I just. All right. I wasn't going to talk about this.
It's fine.
Right. I watched it last night. I watched the David Foster documentary. Carly came and said, "This is really fast." And Carly goes, "Yeah." And goes to bed. So I'm watching this.
So you many probably, hits.
You probably know David Foster because of his association with Yolanda on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But let me tell you something. Of course David Foster jettisoned that lady.
Well said.
She didn't give him. The man has like 16 or 17 Grammy awards. Yes. Not nominations.
Awards.
Awards. Yeah. 17 Grammys. Let me go down the list for you, okay? He's a kingmaker.
Yeah.
People he's produced.
Yeah. Golden
Celine
touch.
Dion. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you remember that little song a few years back, The Prayer? Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah.
That he produced that.
Wow.
That's his thing. Chicago, after Chicago was young Chicago, he reinvented Chicago. He reinvented Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. He produced that. Chicago. He's got Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
He discovered Michael Bublé. It goes on and on. The man is a musical producing genius. And we know him from, Yolanda going,
I looked him up.
David's going to have a few guests over, some famous guests. You go back and
completely
watch David Foster on that.
Completely disrespected him and who he was and what he was.
Right, thank you. Yes. Welcome to Misogyny Corner
It was. I was like, who is this David douche? And I looked him up and I'm like,
got his
David
due.
Foster's your husband? You're treating him like he's a help?
Yeah. It was ridiculous. It was like, and then he said last night on the documentary, he kind of dissed her a little bit. It was so odd. He said, his quote was, people have said I left her because she got sick. It had nothing to do with her getting sick. It had something to do with something I will never, ever disclose.
Mm. Oh, that was his quote. Probably stepped out.
That was his only quote
on this show
about Yolanda.
Didn't he marry Catherine McPhee?
He came married Catherine McPhee, and I called Carla back downstairs.
Not bad.
Because they have a 30-year difference.
Yeah, 30
They
years.
Have a 30-year difference. And Catherine McPhee and Carla, if you watch this documentary, although it's, I got 10 years on David Foster, thank God.
Right.
There is a discussion about you get to that stage. David Foster is, bad track record as far as marriage is concerned. There were a lot of things she said that I thought it was kind of cool. With a judge not yet, lest ye be judged kind of way. So it was a fascinating documentary with that. And I didn't know that nobody, because he's a producer. He's not an artist. He's not the guy that sings the songs, but he is
his catalog,
something to.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Is unparalleled.
Well, did I mention a little group you might know, Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of made them what they are. Just spectacular. So I watched that, and Carla went to bed.
So the Unsolved Mysteries, just briefly.
Yes. Unsolved Mysteries was trending number one in America. Unsolved Mysteries.
Maddie and I, I was explaining to Maddie that you do this voice, because and Chen really didn't remember it.
Robert Stack is the impression.
Yeah, because now Robert Stack
tonight
is not
on Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, he sounded like he wasn't mic'd right.
Maddie doesn't remember him from The Untouchables either. So I mean, it's
well, exactly. And Shannon, in her right, barely remembers it. And I said, this music used to freak me out when I was younger.
Dee 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 dee.
And that all paralleled and dovetailed off a conversation saying, we hope that Mike goes to Maine. But I said, last time I talked to Mike, I think he's staying in Florida. And I said, do you think this is like Carla's Unsolved Mysteries of why Mike O'Mara passed away?
Mike O'Mara got the COVID. Carla put him in harm's way.
Yeah, Carla's divine plan was to get me into a car to head north and make sure we stopped at that one particular South Carolina restaurant, dripping with disease. That's what it was. Tonight on Unsolved Mysteries, how did Mike O'Mara contract the horrible disease? He did it at a South Carolina restaurant. When Carla said, don't go on the left side of the street, let's just pull in here. Those were the last words he ever heard. There was something on the wall that was petrified. It was petrified. It looked like it had come out of someone's nasal passages.
Oh, no.
I can't even describe to you.
This is episode four, Mike. Episode four of the new Unsolved Mysteries. It's called the Tainted Honey Bun.
The first episode, worth the watch, Mike. It's actually an unsolved mystery that happened in Charm City, right up the street.
Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. Nobody knows what happened.
I pointed out to my son that we're actually going underwater. We are actually going on a highway that goes underwater.
The harbor tunnel.
For a whole long period of time.
Harbor tunnel took, do you know how many shovels they had to use to build that tunnel?
My son said, Daddy, we're going under the water in a tunnel? What happens if the water breaks through? I said, son, we are screwed blue and tattooed.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Nice to be in Maine, where everybody's right out straight. Have you noticed this? How you doing? I'm right out straight. What's the matter? I was supposed to be at the Shaw's by 10:30, and I ain't even called my mother yet. People in Maine like to put Jesus Christ in the middle of every sentence.
Are we going to the mall or not, Earl?
I don't know. I don't know. Jesus Christ, I don't know. I'm right out straight over here. You can't get through a sentence in Maine. It's not that we're rude. We just want to participate in the conversation with you. The whole time you're talking, we're going, yeah, yeah, right. Then comes this, member? What the hell is member? I know what remember is. You remember that time? You remember that time we drove to Holton and we were drinking? Old men in Maine are funny. They like trucks, old men. Oh, they like a nice truck. I was over at Cumberland Farms today. Over at Cumbie's. You know we're lazy people when we nickname the variety store? Isn't it called Cumberland Farms? I don't have time to say Cumberland Farms. I'm right out straight. So I'm over at Cumbie's. I'm pumping up gas, and these two old men are looking at each other's truck. That's a good truck there. Oh, geez, yes, she moves. The other day, I'm driving up 302, minding my own business. Out of nowhere comes some asshole from Massachusetts. They decide they're going to pass me on the inside. I said, taint lightly. I put the pedal to the metal. I had that sucker going so fast, I blew the sprinkles off an ice cream cone at the Dairy Queen in Windham. Remember?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Well, by Jesus, that's Bob Malley. Bob Malley's a stand-up comedian, right? That's Bob Malley.
Yes. Yeah, he's so funny. So funny.
Oh, by golly. We've had him on the show. He's a good guy. Like him a lot. Yeah, here we are up there. Made the trek from all the way down the tip of Florida, right up here to Maine. We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you? Everybody doing all right?
Doing great.
From Antelope, California, Hyattsville, Maryland, Downingtown, Pennsylvania. I think I drove through there. Drove through one of those little S towns somewhere along the route. Sorry about that. No, it's sure it's nice. Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, problem there this weekend.
Boiled peanuts.
Yeah, and gunfire. Denby in Newport News, Virginia. Where the hell is that, Rob? You've been
out in
those
That's paths. A neighborhood down there. Denby's a neighborhood. Denby High School is had a lot of friends that went there. But it's another people they send in the neighborhoods. I like the neighborhoods.
And Hancock County, Maine, where I am broadcast. Did you get that from someone, or you just put that as a tribute? As an homage, mind you, to where I am now.
That's honorarium there, Mike.
An honorarium in Maine, or are we just running out of people, for Christ's sake?
No, I wanted to mention it, because you're up there.
All right, hold on a second. I'm trying to fix my machine here.
Fix it.
There we go. It's just not working. All right, come on now. Jesus Christ. Hold on a second. I'm turning it up like that. Oh, for Christ's sake. I'll fix it later.
Portrait mode.
I'll fix it later. Hey, all right, listen. Seriously. We talked at the, if you missed that show, that bonus show, you missed a little, you missed a lot.
Yes.
Oh my God. Did we have a bonus show? It was something amazing. We are, like every other small business in America, having our problems lately. And now we've decided to turn that off for a second, please. Jesus.
Yep.
You're coming out at me so loud. It's so loud.
Yeah. It's a little hot so over here, loud. Too.
It's loud.
I turned you down a little bit.
Thank you.
All right. So we made a decision that we would ask for support from our listeners, and that's why I would like to introduce something special to you. If you've not heard this the first time, you missed it online when we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. It is the, I think I'll read Rob's copy. This is the TMOS Patron Society.
Are you familiar with the name Lorenzo de' Medici? Well, you should be. He was the lord of Florence, Italy in the 1400s, and he was the greatest patron of the arts during the Renaissance. Without him, we wouldn't have Da Vinci, Botticelli, Michelangelo, or countless other artists. So you see, the idea of being a patron of the arts is a concept steeped in both history and wisdom. Which is why when you click on the TMOS Patron Society banner at MikeOMeraShow.com, your generosity will help to ensure the existence of TMOS for many years to come. Or to come. With just a simple click and a pledge, the amount is up to you. Oh, yes, Siri, to you.
You.
You're hearing my voice and you're doing well. Help. Anyway, you know you will be doing your part to support the Mike O'Mara Show. Now, we've asked for support in many different ways. This time we're biting the bullet. We're flat out putting our hand out here because we need to keep this show chugging along. And if you can contribute, please do. Your support means the world to us. Now more than ever, and many years from now, as people are still staring at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel or marveling at the Last Supper, they can do so while listening to TMOS in their earbuds. Thanks for your generosity. Be a part of history. Thank you. How does this work again?
So
we have a banner on our webpage, right?
And this is all for stemming from... I would say wonderful listeners that said, hey, why haven't you put up a Patreon? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Or why are you using Facebook stars when they take anywhere from 30 to 40% of any donations made on online when we do the video? All of those are viable questions. And I say that because, for the reasons that we discussed on, I would say, this past Friday ago, is that...
you mean the show our ass show?
No, well... In fairness,
as I will henceforth refer to it,
in fairness,
the show our pooper show.
In fairness, Mike, any business driven by advertising is being affected this way, whether it's radio stations, television stations, or even podcasts. And if the entire grouping of those media are being negatively affected by this pandemic, we're not untouchable. So to answer the questions of why don't you go direct to the consumer, Pony and I worked on an option that's like Patreon or any other model where you can choose to donate any way you'd like by going with $1 a week, $5 a week, $10 a week, or any amount you'd like.
Any amount you like.
So you have four different options.
Many businesses are hurting. And you hear restaurants talk about 30%, 40%. Well, we're in the same boat. And we are doing what we can and coming up with creative ways, as we always have done. This isn't going to change anything. We're going to still, by the way, when we sell our fruitcakes, we want you to come out of the woodwork and do that as well. We're just doing what we can do. And if you can help us, we appreciate it. It's the TMOS Patron Society. We had to. I didn't want to. I'm a proud guy. I didn't want to do this. I didn't like the idea of doing this. But we... to me, it's more important to keep this chugging along. And, we know it's important to everybody that we work with, and it's also important to people that listen to the show. So, it's the TMOS Patron Society. Any little bit you can help, if you got it, that's fine. That's the way it works, during this time. And, we're fortunate to have a model where we can do it online. And we're also fortunate to have a business where we're not the only ones that are doing it this way.
Right.
And we're excited about the response we've gotten even before we went on the air. This is the first time we're talking about it on the show. This came out of our Friday show which was, you know, where, you know, out of the frustration of the moment, everything, all of our laundry was aired about our financial challenges for the show. After that, we made some very difficult decisions. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I've always wanted, I said to my wife, I said, you know what, this is going to be okay, because I've always wanted to, you know, to actually support my family on the money that I made at Katz Creative Decorating in Glastonbury, Connecticut when I was 16 years old. I really, really wanted to do it that way. And
what did he say when he fired you?
Generally, things haven't worked out. So, it's tough, but we, you know, I think I put a pretty clear Facebook post out.
That's beautiful.
To, yes. People that were doing that, you know, after the lady said she was troubled. She was just couldn't get the taste out of her mouth about that. Yeah, we were honest, and it was tough, and Oscar was S-faced, and it was it was correct. Something where how did you feel the Saturday after that show? Did you wake up okay?
Or the Monday after?
I prepared for these hangovers so well that it's not as bad as you would think. Like
I didn't have one. I was depressed enough when I woke up on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I was so glad that I did not have a brutal hangover. I was, but I was just kind of
would have been a pretty good one too, huh?
Well, no, I think I you know what I think I had one during all 12 of those shows. I think I've had one, and it was probably wine. And then the other one was margaritas. I've had two.
The red wine night destroyed you.
Red wine night killed me. The margarita night was not as much of a hangover as just the salt and the sugar,
Logie,
and all that, where you just wake up going, blah,
yeah,
blah,
blah,
blah, somebody like move that. Me.
But, you know,
the liquid IV. It is a lifesaver of lifesavers. Prior and after.
It is.
No,
they don't hype it on their website, but it is a hangover cure par excellence. And we were all there, and it was something, because we were going away for a week, and then there was a little fallout.
Mike,
and
you realize that. And someone asked me this offline. They said, "Have you guys not taken a vacation since the new year?" And I said, "No, we just went straight 6 months."
Yeah.
Yep. And really, it was not anything that was any kind of sacrifice, because we didn't look. We like our downtime as much as anybody. We like to get away. We like to go on a vacation. We like to go to nice places. We like to take a time off from this. Mm-hmm. It didn't. At least this is the way I felt about it. I didn't process it until probably that week, where we kind of said, okay, yeah, we've been going. We didn't realize that we had done, a series of shows for a longer period of time than we'd done in quite some
ever.
Time. Well, I mean, I think
6 months straight. No, 6 months straight.
Six months, we've never done that. The only guy that's beating us is Sanjay Gupta on CNN.
You're saying he never takes off his 360 never. Show?
Watch CNN. Go watch CNN. Sanjay Gupta is on Monday through Sunday.
You're right.
He is on at 8 a.m. He is on at midnight. He is on constantly. And, you know.
And a lot of people don't know this. He runs his own board.
Yeah, of course he does. So we had a pretty intense discussion about everything. And then we made some tough decisions. And everybody on the show is sacrificing right now. And we want to keep the show going. That's our priority. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to do. I said it to people. That's it. And then, I also said, as far as the, there was one particular post that was out there that was talking about Rob being the engine of the, Oscar being the engine of the show, Rob being the heart of the show. And, I said, I'm over here going, well, how about your boy?
Yeah.
How about your boy, bitch? How about me sitting over here? Whatever your name was. I was so pissed off,
Of all the posts.
I know.
I get it. Well, no, that's the one I remember.
I remember.
It's like, F you. I'm over here.
You actually engaged in that
post. I'm trying to. I did. I responded to it. And I said, okay, well, maybe I do. It was tense, and maybe I should be. I'm always, by the way, I'm always with my coworkers, with my family members, with everybody. I'm always very aware of my own shortcomings and the way I talk to people. But the nature of this show, the comedy vehicle of this show, is we do yell at
each other. Of course.
Yeah, occasionally.
It's I love that people have it all figured out and the three of us don't. They know what's going on, right?
I know.
For those that do, And those that have figured it out, we thank you. We do appreciate you.
Yes.
And honestly, I think we are better off having had this conversation. I'd rather it not been on the air, so my apologies to the team. But I'm happy we did because it really opened up.
I haven't been paid since 1987, Mike.
I'm happy.
I would like, Rob, hold on to your list because someone wants to say. And it's like,
it is something that had to be done. As I've talked to Mike numerous times since Friday. I've talked to Rob's wife numerous times since Friday.
Lucky guy. Not Rob, right?
Not Rob.
Because you're talking finances, right?
Yeah, so I have to talk to Carrie, which is fine. And I'd rather talk to Carrie because I know at least it doesn't go into the center of the sun and just melts away. Mm-hmm. With Carrie, actually, she says, I'll talk to Rob about this. I'm like, okay, we're good. We're fine.
Mm-hmm. Look at Rob just going, yep. Right.
Yep.
No counterpoint at all with that. That's the way it is. Okay.
That's the way it is.
I'd rather have it that way. Honestly, I'm done judging Rob about that. I talked to Carrie. We're good to go.
We're good to go.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And Oscar got to talk to Carrie, which is lucky. It's lucky for him.
Oh, no, she's not bad. Honestly, she's not bad to talk to. She's engaged.
No, she's fine. Detail.
It ain't like our wives weren't all there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's true.
It's not like our wives weren't all there in the middle of all that. And then, by the way, after that was all over, after that disastrous show concluded, I'm listening to Carla talk to Shannon for like an hour.
They're talking about skincare.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Carla came in after her long chat with Shannon. I said, who are you talking to? I said, Shannon. And then Oscar came in for a little bit. I said, hope you told him thank you. All right. We have to take a break. We'll come back with that.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anyway, getting back, I'll tell you all about what it's like if those of you that might want to know the experience of getting tested for COVID. You've seen the pictures down in Florida. I was in one of those lines with my entire family. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
If you'd like to learn more about the Mike O'Mara Show, the Library of Congress recommends these books. These Boots Were Made for Fighting, The Jabrils of Madison County, and Fascinating Cheeses of Western New York. These and many interesting books aren't found in your local library. But if you'd like to read more, shop Walmart and Target through the TMOS Shopping Center and share your favorites at the TMOS Fans Book Club and Recommendations page on Facebook. We'll be happy to help you read more about it.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Ring. We are all home more than usual these days, but it's still hard to keep a close eye on things. More deliveries mean more boxes left unattended. There are bad people out there.
Yes.
Want to grab them. More chances for packages to go missing. Vultures everywhere. Nasty. Luckily, with Ring, you can keep your home safe no matter where you are. Ring is on a mission to make neighborhoods safer. From video doorbells and security cameras to smart security lighting and alarm systems, Ring has everything you need to make sure your family and belongings are safe and secure anytime, anywhere. Sometimes if you're, like, say, for example, in the state of Maine and your Ring floodlight goes off as you're sitting there right after dark and you walk outside and you see a deer that looks like a woolly mammoth in the middle of your yard, that's fun, too. I have the Ring floodlight cam, which couldn't be any better. When I decided to head up to Maine, I knew that I could keep track of Florida with just a glance at my phone. That's peace of mind. You can rest easy anywhere, everywhere with Ring. Get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit when you go to ring.com/TMOS. The Welcome Kit has the Ring Video Doorbell 3 and Chime Pro. It's all you need to start building a custom security for your home today. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS. And we thank you. Got time for a very quick break. We've got lots of news going on, major political news coming up with a new entry into the presidential race. You're going to want to stick around for that.
Exciting.
Before, we were anticipating the process of coming up here, and we said if we did decide we want to get tested, there's a protocol up here.
What is a protocol for those who don't
know? Yeah, protocol is if you don't get, if you come to the state from a, there are certain states that are exempt, but Florida is not.
Why is that?
If you come... If you come from Florida and many other states, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks unless you get tested. And if you get tested and you're negative, you don't have to quarantine. So, but it's also, I think, when the option is given to you and you're going to another state, I think it's
smart.
I felt a little bit of obligation to come up to people that had not been around. You know, and when you see that Florida license plate on the back of a car, it's just like, where's that car from? Florida?
No!
They're not socially distancing in that car.
No, oh, look at that. No. Those idiots from the land of Duh Santas. Everything's fine. The kids have it. Don't worry about it. Everything's okay.
I'm going to let local municipalities. Kids.
Yeah.
Crazy kids.
I'm going to let local governments do yeah, you want to leave the state? Oh, yeah. Vice President Pence is coming.
Oh.
Does that feel good? Did you tell Donald that I didn't make people wear masks? Did you tell? Go back and tell him. I love him. I'm Governor Ron. Duh. Sorry, had to get that off my chest.
That was a great little pilot.
Last weekend we go into the we got our test back Friday. By the way, I was negative. I said a surprise. I was just teasing. All right. The line, we get there at 7:30 in the morning. It's supposed to open at 8:30. So I figured there's a massive line.
Oh, wow.
Already. I talked about the efficiency of the way they run it was spectacular. It's a military operation. There are National Guard people and frontline workers. I don't want to do this now. I don't have time. I really don't have time. But you have to realize when you see young people and young people with the face guards and the masks that are doing this to hundreds, thousands of people every week. And we're out here. I need 40 minutes to do it. We're out here bitching about wearing masks. Don't get me started on it. That probably will come tomorrow, but because I have to vent about that. But these young people that are doing, they're young. You can tell they're young. The efficiency with which they got us through that was spectacular. And it was run like a military operation. And we got out of there in less than an hour and a half. And I was blown out of the water.
Even with that huge line when you got there.
With the huge line, we were blown out of the water with how efficient it was, how spectacular it was. It was terrific the way they did that. The state's dumb and the government is dumb. The way they're having this happen. I think that, you know, the mass thing is it. But we got through it. The process itself, okay, you take a very long swab, the size of, let me see, I'll be conservative with it. It's the size of a good long fishing pole.
Okay.
And they take this, and it's got a cotton swab on the end.
A casting rod, right?
In a land long ago, far, far away, I used to play a sport known as hockey. And I'm old enough where I played that sport, sometimes without proper face protection. And during one of my high school hockey practice, when I wasn't wearing face protection, Joe Hendrickson poke-checked me across the face, shattering my nose.
Oh, no.
So, in my adult life, I have never gotten my nose fixed. My dad said, "It's not broken." Came down to the kitchen table with two black eyes. He goes, "Doesn't look broken to me." I said, "Dad, look at my eyes. Of course it's broken." "Well, you'll be all right." And anyway, so we didn't get it fixed. So I have a rather, an ear, nose, and throat guy one time said he's got I have one of the worst deviated septums that he's ever seen. Now, there are other people that I work with at WAVA in the 80s that had deviated septums but for another reason. But anyway. I digress.
Not hockey players.
Not hockey players.
Definitely a winter sport, though.
Let me say that.
Very good.
My nose is the equivalent of, let's say you've got a highway, 95. Two lanes on the right, two lanes on the left. Two lanes on the right are fine. Everybody's driving, making it to their destination. The two lanes on the left, there was a major wreck and it shut down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the left side of my nose. So they take the swab and they put it in, and it's a little bit of the, you know, where you're
sure.
going, they go to your cerebral deep. Cortex. They go deep to do swab.
Touch your cerebrum.
That was a little uncomfortable, and I'm like, I know the left side's coming. And I'm like, well, this is going to be interesting. Well, the young lady who was swabbing me obviously felt the resistance of the two lanes closed down and didn't for a second let that deter her. And best way to describe that would be painful, excruciatingly painful. where not the kind of pain where it's like, I can't stand anymore, but pain enough to, you know, more painful than getting a shot.
Oh.
All right. So it was, and they finished that.
I can't believe she wouldn't, feeling the resistance, she wouldn't back off.
Oh, it's probably like, no. Oh, man, this guy's got bats in the cave. Let me shove this through.
I think she got it through, but I think it was like, you know, I think she found, I don't know, I think she found Chilean miners in there when she, you know, when
got
she.
Got free them. I saw the movie.
We got to get them out. They're getting air in there. Fantastic. All right. We'll come back with one more break. I have to talk about masks.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll do that right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, so you owe me strength about talking to the boys of the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, a sit-down, a face-to-face. Well, now you can with the TMOS Talking Heads. It's a live video call with Mike, Rob, Oscar, and you. So email Rob with 2 B's at MikeOmeraShow.com. Tell him why you're worthy of being on the show, and you just might be one of the lucky ones to appear on the next TMOS Talking Head segment. Now let's get back to the Mike O'Mara Show, already in progress.
Man, Paulie, they're Costco steaks and then they're Paulie steaks.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Paulie put a picture of steaks up yesterday, and I was having like some leftover spaghetti. And I was looking at his steaks going, God damn. Is there a food holiday he doesn't miss? 4th of July barbecue with the sausage and everything.
And also a great 3D picture of him in the pool.
Yes, love that.
We all get Paulie's feed. Everybody gets Paulie's feed.
Everyone is very much connected.
Paulie's social media is better than our shows.
Oh, my God.
by leaps and bounds. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by KiwiCo. You might feel like your kid's summer break started way early if you've been stuck at home together, but now that vacation is actually here, learning doesn't have to stop for summer. You can get their noses out of those devices.
Yes.
You can do it with KiwiCo. They can deliver a science fair or an art class right to your door. It's super cool. I've used this with my son. You're going to love it. We did the nighttime project, the galaxy,
yes.
The constellations. That was the last KiwiCo right after we did the kaleidoscope. So much fun. Hands-on projects delivered every month. Boom. What about a constellation lantern? That's what I wanted to tell you about.
So cool. So cool.
And it's a solar spinner for exploring the stars. Very cool. These are real engineering, science, and art projects for children and parents. The quality is amazing. Plus, there are different crates for kids of all ages. So there's something for every kid on your list. KiwiCo, redefining play with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart. That's my part. At KiwiCo, they love kids, and we genuinely love our KiwiCo and the O'Mara household. Get your first month free on select crates at KiwiCo.com/TMOS. That's KiwiCo.com/TMOS. I've done this before. I've had the theme. When I was in line getting tested for COVID down in Florida, a state where leadership has abandoned the state. In my humble opinion, I think that letting, say, well, the governor, you know, your mayor can do it, your city council can do it. And then the city council goes, yeah, I think it'll be all right. I think that strong leadership, it's pretty obvious with something as simple as a mask mandate would save lives. I know that sounds like I'm overblowing it, but I'm not. I believe that with all my soul. Regarding masks, I have now been through, let me see, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, New York State, Delaware, Maryland, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Maine, and made stops in probably
Virginia.
Thank you. I've observed the mask and up here in Maine, where masks are strongly encouraged and mandated in certain cases. And this is a debate over something that does not need to be debated. At a certain point, you put a seatbelt on because it saves your life if you get into a car accident. This is not a debate, but I figured it out. And because I have a brand new puppy, I get it. I get it completely. I get the way it works. When you take care of a puppy will walk over to an electric cord and start chewing on it. Mm-hmm. You have to remove the puppy because the puppy doesn't know. The puppy would only know probably when it shocked itself to death and got electrocuted. Right. Masks are the exact same way. I have had the opportunity to observe enough people without masks to have a general consensus on the way they feel. This is not about freedom and liberty and any of that. Doesn't apply here because there's something called the common good. And if you are so stupid that you don't realize that you don't matter, but the common good matters, then I don't have any time for you because you're a toddler. You're an infant. The only time you can really respond to something bad is if it happens to you or somebody close to you. Other than that, you do not have the emotional development to realize that other people are hurting, are dying. And you probably, that can come from a variety of reasons. You can be brainwashed by leadership and believe what people that don't really care about this are telling you. Or you can just be in a time warp, in a vacuum.
Right.
But I also think at the core of it, this is just a theory of mine, this speaks to your emotional development as a human being. Somewhere along the line, you did not make that transformation into adulthood that taught you to give a rat's ass about other people, where much like a toddler or a puppy dog, you don't understand what it is to feel what other people feel. You don't get that. And that's all this is about. That's what I really do believe it. You won't get it until it bites you in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think this is all about. I really, really believe this. And it's time for the people in power to direct the puppies and the toddlers and the emotionally undeveloped people that, you hear it all the time, are not capable of empathizing. These are the same people that will go to an event where people are shoulder to shoulder, and then their eyebrows will go up to their hairline, and they will be wide-eyed saying, I really shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you didn't know better because you aren't mature enough to know.
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is pick up a newspaper, look at the news on television, read an article online, and you'll know how bad this is. And I thought about it, and you know, I observe a lot of these people. I don't preach to them. It's not my spot. Probably get me in some kind of altercation. But I observe the people, especially the young people without masks on. And there seems to be a type, all right? There seems to be a type. And they seem more childlike to me. When I see that, I look at people going, you're just out of it. You're not doing it. This is, I don't care how you feel about anything else in this pandemic. We have definitive scientific evidence and proof that putting a mask on helps this situation. And for those of you that don't do it, you're, to me, this is like a crime against humanity. That's the way I look at it. You need to do it. Up here, it was refreshing to see people that have, you know, a state where I think we've had in this county maybe two fatalities in the entire county. And everybody in this little spit of land near where I live is wearing masks. Go further inland, you get people, more population.
Sporadic.
More people out there.
Right.
And you get sporadic. 50-50 some places, 70-30. But by and large, a lot of people are wearing masks. Down in Florida, not the case. Not nearly the case down there. And it's just be smart and look out for yourself and wear a mask. And now masks are readily available.
The amazing thing is, you know, you go back, think back how long we've been going through this. And the first real evidence of this, I'm bigger than the pandemic story, was spring break. Remember back spring break in March. And those teenagers, those stupid teenagers, did their mea culpa and said, you know what? We shouldn't have done that. And yet it repeats. And yet it repeats. Yeah. And yet it
repeated on 4th of July weekend.
Exactly. I hate to see what's going to happen in 2 weeks.
New Jersey. Saw some pictures of the Jersey Shore. Just, it's strange. And, you know, I don't think it could be any easier. It's the way I look at it.
The peace of mind that comes from walking in a store, into any store, and seeing people wearing masks and not questioning, is this place safe?
Right.
Oh my God. Like, it is. I mean, Mike, your psychology, I mean, your overall disposition must be healthier now just being in Maine and seeing that.
It's more, I'm calmer about the whole situation, but I'm angrier when I look at it now, when I watch the strain that's being put on the medical system, and we've forgotten it. We have short attention span theater in America.
Mm-hmm.
These people, these doctors and nurses, They're still dealing with it, and we're screwing them all over again. Governor DeSantis, with your inability to lead, because you wanted to kiss ass for our big Cheeto-dipped idiot-in-chief who doesn't think wearing a mask is something he needs to do. You know how powerful that would be? The power of that office, if he just slipped one on, and how that would affect people. How many thousands of people might that affect if he really just came out and definitively said that? And then you've got the governor of the state of Florida that's doing God knows what as they're talking about the healthcare system strained in this country. It's very sad. It's very frustrating. But, you know, and I don't pull any punches about that. I'll pull punches, you know, during regular political times, but I will not do it when we're talking about people living and dying. And I watched you want to see a tube getting replaced in a person that's been intubated, and you see that garbage that's on the outside of that, what people are, you know, living and dying with, doesn't make any sense. So that's it. That's all I wanted to say about the matter. And wear a mask. Wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
If there's one thing you can do, wear a mask. You can do anything. You can put your sock over your face.
Right.
Cover your face up. That's all there was, you know? And by the way, the guy at Blueberry Hill, the ice cream place up here in Ellsworth, Maine, thanks for not wearing a mask and hacking right before you were about to go up to the ice cream counter and then lighting a cigarette. And then lighting a cigarette. You dip. Honest to God. We'll be right back, everybody.
For your consideration.
Brie, American, Gouda, mild cheddar, camembert, provolone, baby bell, parmesan, mascarpone, burrata, feta, ricotta, gruyere, asiago, gorgonzola, Havarti, Monterey Jack, Stilton, Swiss, Fontina, pecorino romano, and buffalo mozzarella.
She didn't name all of the cheeses, but she named enough of the cheeses. She's Madeline Masiello, the queen of cheese. Only on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, Maddie. Hi, Maddie, up in Buffalo. Must be nice not to be eating ramen for a week. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Noom. Crash diets are always temporary if you want to keep those pounds off. You have to adjust your lifestyle. That's why I love Noom. Noom helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Noom teaches you... Hold on, I got a text here. Okay. Thank you. All right.
You're still negative, right?
Yeah. Noom teaches you why you do the things you do and gives you the tools you need to ditch bad habits and replace them with better ones. Noom is not a diet. It's a healthy and easy to stick to way of life. My favorite part, they've got a great food database. It's fantastic. Yeah. Ultra helpful. When you're cooped up at home, it's the best. Oscar loves Noom. Carla has never looked better. She really does look good. She is kicking my butt. She is kicking my butt every single day. Thank you, Noom. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/TMOS, everybody.
News.
News. Boo. All right, hold on a second. All right. All right. Okay. All right, anyway.
Everything all right?
I'm talking to the colonel on the phone. They're in Vermont. They might be coming over.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, nice.
Want to see what's going on. I hope so. They're doing stuff with their house. So everything's a little bit in limbo. We'll see what happens today. Remember the 2015 VMAs when Kanye West announced that he would run for president in 2020?
Yes. Of course. Well,
thank God on Saturday he announced that he is in.
Yes!
He tweeted, quote, "We must now realize the promise of America by trusting God, unifying our vision, and building our future. I am running for president of the United States." He ended the post with an American flag and the hashtag 2020 vision. Jesus.
Well, isn't this the man that was in the White House not less than a year ago?
Yes.
Thanking the president? Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I think it's finally time to get somebody in there at office with empathy.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Self-awareness, somebody who's not tone deaf. Thanks, Kanye. A new wave of celebrities were added to the COVID-19 corps over the weekend, including Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle, who used to be on Fox News. The Trump team says Kimberly is asymptomatic, but she's been isolated to limit the possibility of transmission. I chuckle because I picture in that inner circle that when you get the COVID, it must be like the ultimate you don't get to play in the sandbox, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, can't, you're right. Can you say, you tell Trump, yeah, your son's girlfriend got it. Oh, are you kidding me? I knew she wouldn't wash her hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I heard something like she's got to drive now back to Washington.
Oh, no.
Put her in a car.
Fine.
Let her drive.
And there then the are. President said, Mike, quote, those who are late do not get fruit cup.
Former Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain was hospitalized last week with the virus. There's no way of knowing where he caught it, but he was at President Trump's rally in Tulsa last month. NASCAR stud Jimmy Johnson tested positive on Friday, and he was forced to bow out of this weekend's Brickyard 400. His wife has coronavirus, too. These athletes, man, you're seeing, you know, baseball players, hockey players. It's kind of weird. I don't know. I worry about sports.
Two members of the Washington Nationals, but they've not identified who yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when you see the golfers get it, I mean, the golf by its very nature, which I played,
sure,
is so social distancing. But you don't know. You realize these guys are in hotels.
Yeah,
on
but
the road,
there's a lot
constantly.
Of there's tradition within the golf world, Mike, that it goes down behind closed doors, right?
Yes, so, the lovemaking. That's good. The lovemaking.
They don't call it bunker cabin for anything, you know?
Butler. Yeah, it's been a long
Butler.
Time.
Butler. Damn it, cabin. Butler.
Long
That's
time.
What I meant, Butler.
It's a long time since they've given that place a proper wipe down. Yeah.
They've got DNA from Ike there.
Oh, God.
So gross. A group called the Global Language Monitor released a list of the top trending phrases in 2020 so far. The term COVID has already been cited at least 100 times more than every previous word of the year. Mm. The top five terms this year, COVID, COVID-19, coronavirus, corona, and face mask.
Mm.
That's the language monitor. Because it's important to monitor our language, you know?
It is. And, very important.
But as far as that guy at Blueberry Hill, the ice cream stand,
yes,
his word search most often was D-U-H. Duh. Cough, cough. Duh. Cough, cough. Hashtag.
How was
duh,
the ice
duh.
Cream?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
Moose tracks. Mm. You know, my son's got a peanut allergy. Moose tracks is an ice cream. It's got teeny tiny little peanut butter cups. So he goes, Dad, does that have nuts in it? I go, yes.
Stand back.
By the way,
keep away from me.
Had a great phone conversation with your son over vacation.
Yes.
And it's so funny to talk to him on the phone now because my phone rings and it says, because it's Carla's phone. So it comes up as Carla as the caller ID. And it's just him and he's a little guy. And we have a little talk and I ask
little
him
man.
Questions. And
he was
it's
great.
A, thank you. I said, okay, talk to you soon. It was like getting a call from a buddy. He's so grown up.
27 hours in an automobile and then the last, I want to say 3 hours, was he held it together. I used to do this to my dad. Every parent knows this.
Sure, sure.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we in Maine yet? Are we there yet? Are we in? Started in Massachusetts, and it was, you know, by the end, it's just like, just let him talk. Are we there? No, you know, it was, we will, Mike. It's taken a long. You've been a real trooper.
Yeah.
By the end, by like the Bangor Road, it was
yes.
Like, no, we're not. Zip it. The way it goes. Yeah. Good kid. And the dog's great, too. Winslow's doing fine for all of you that were concerned about. Whatever. During the 4th of July weekend, an Arizona woman was extremely angry at Target for selling face masks and proceeded to film herself attacking the display.
Mm. Good for her.
This is the aforementioned thing I talked about. These are toddlers. These are children. They're children that have been validated by their fearless leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They have. I'm sorry. Two Target employees confront her to ask her to stop, but the woman continues and yells, why? You let everybody else do it, but I can't do it because I'm a blonde white woman?
Oh.
Because I wear a $40,000 Rolex? I don't have the right to F up? I'm sorry, I gave the FS up.
Unless
sorry about
said,
that.
A problem. I like that you use the initial F.
And then I said
the
S word.
S word.
That was a big mistake. We've been on vacation for a week. I'm really
That's
sorry.
Right. That's fine.
In a second Instagram live video filmed by the woman, police are called to her house. And she tells them she's a spokesperson for the White House. She says, quote, call Donald Trump and ask him if you don't believe me. She says, when the police ask her for Trump's phone number, the woman only says she's on the phone with him all the time. She goes on to say she was hired to be the QAnon spokesperson.
Oh, good.
There we are. All right. So that's the
you let everyone else do it, Mike.
Also, why would you want in the look, in fairness, we all know this. Everybody has a phone. Everybody has a camera. Why would you want your image plastered across the country, around the world, of you getting mad at a Trader Joe's or a Target or right. a Giant over this?
It's ridiculous. People it are is. Just... It's an insane time. And now a little something-something. There's a 32-year-old guy named Yoshito Harada in Aichi, Japan. Hmm. And his way of trying to meet women is slashing their tires. Then he drives up and offers help when they get back to their cars.
Uh-huh.
He pulled that move on a 43-year-old woman while she was grocery shopping a few weeks ago, and she thought it was suspicious because the exact same thing happened to her 1 year earlier. Yeah, apparently Yoshito had already tried the tire slash and rescue move on this woman like a year earlier, but he forgot.
Duh. Duh.
She reported it to the police, and they tracked down Yoshito. It turns out he's been busted for this at least 2 times before, and his lawyer admitted he's probably pulled the move around 1,000 times.
My God.
Wow.
Oh, and he's clearly failed every one of those times because he's still single, ladies. On a related note, Matthew Bloom spent the holiday weekend sharpening his knife collection.
There you go. It's going to work one of these days, I swear.
Right. Boy. Absolutely.
Have faith.
It'll do it. If you're at Fairfax Station, just be aware. Check those tires before you get in the car. We got to take a break. We'll come back with the audio vault and Rob Spiewak right here from Maine on the Mike O'Meara Show. And now, King's Thing.
Hi, I'm Larry. I don't trust my doorknobs. I haven't tied a shoe in over 12 years. How about a TV show about cheese?
My medicine chest is mostly full of ointments.
I don't understand TikTok, but I love it. Canned fruit cocktail. Underrated.
I just don't think that Joker movie was all that funny.
I once lost a finger in a zipper accident. I need somebody to help me find my keys. When I need a laugh, I listen to the TMOS bonus show. Your passport to the assport. Whoa. Funny, right? Buy it at MikeOMeraShow.com.
Thanks, Larry. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. As more places reopen and we safely enjoy summer, quality sleep, more important than ever. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, but it also helps with energy and recovery. Sleep Number to the rescue. From Feather Soft. I've never had Feather Soft. I do super firm.
You like the firm?
I'm super firm. Well, yeah. Sleep Number gives you both. And, you know, you might want to experiment sometimes. I've done that. You can adjust each side of a Sleep Number bed so your Sleep Number setting works for you. So it's just right for both of you. And by the way, your Sleep Number bed, you know, you can be bouncing around on it. Meanwhile, Mrs. O'Meara is over there. She's completely calm with her puppy.
Of course.
Winslow sleeping on her neck. She's doing fine because I can't move the bed around when I'm adjusting myself to the perfect position. Nowadays, there are plenty of things that can keep you up at night. That's why I love Sleep Number. Compared to average sleepers, Sleep Number bed owners enjoy almost an hour's more of sleep per night. That's a wonderful stat. Quality sleep is one of the best methods to boost physical and mental health, and that's important now more than ever. My Sleep Number setting is, it's an 85 now. Carlos, I believe, has been a 65 since the Truman administration,
right?
And we love it. Discover proven quality sleep for your health and well-being with Sleep Number 360 smart beds. For a limited time, save up to $900 on select smart beds. They do great around the holidays, people.
Yes.
Great time to buy one. Shop your way at a Sleep Number store online at sleepnumber.com/TMOS or by chat. And make sure they told you that Mike O'Meara sent you. So thank you, everybody. Let's open up the audio vault. And one last thing, just for your golfers out there, for you little, you know, for the golfers in the audience, all right?
Yeah.
Just like to say, post-surgery, Mike O'Meara, I am officially down to a 7 handicap. And I play, golf is my number one hobby. I love golf. I shot me a little 77 right before. I'm not going to go into it. This is just for the golfers. It's good. I'm playing well, and I'm really proud of myself today. Great scratch where it's a zero handicap.
Zero handicap.
All right. Mm. What were you before surgery?
15.
Holy ass.
Yes. Wow. I'm very happy. Damn. Very, very happy. And thank you. Just wanted to throw that in there. I know it doesn't mean a lot to anybody, but I had to throw it in there.
Seven is impressive then.
And 77 was a nice little score. And that's a bad day on the PGA Tour, by the way. But Rob Spiewak, take it away. Thank you.
Look at this. Look at this. 10 fingers. No fireworks accident here. Had a good 4th of July. Everybody still got 10 fingers?
No.
Don't have to in my neighborhood because at about noon it starts. And I don't understand why people are setting off fireworks in broad daylight. But you hear it. You hear it all over the neighborhood. A lot of those ones. The ones that are like, and then... Luckily, Linus doesn't panic. He's okay with loud noises, and it just goes on all day.
You not do, so, though.
Not so, yeah, I wet the carpet. Not so lucky in Plano, Texas, where... Oh,
I saw the video.
This is... The thing is this video, there are certain people that are really enjoying it. One of the mortars went off without going up. So it set off a series of fireworks on the ground.
The platform... The platform they had with all the, what do they call them? The mortars.
Mortars,
on,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Collapsed. So yeah. They're pointing straight up at the ground. Maybe a little bit of an angle. I've seen these things. They're pointed straight up. When it, this is not funny. Nobody was hurt. When it collapsed, the mortars are at ground level. So they're shooting these fireworks at the spectators.
Oh my God.
Nobody was hurt. It only destroyed about 4 acres of ground with a brush fire. But what I like, there's some definite fear in this clip, but there's are some people that say, this is great.
That's a problem.
There's a problem.
You're getting a problem here. Back up. That's a problem.
Okay, get your car.
Oh my God!
Get the car!
We're coming at it! Like right along ground level.
I know, but then there's a guy going, woo!
This ain't shooting your buddy's ass with a bottle rocket anymore, people.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Where's the fire truck?
But there is a certain segment of the people that are going, woo! We've never seen them this close before. Yeah, because they're supposed to be 500 yards in the air, and they're shooting at you anyway.
Look, nobody was hurt. Pyrotechnics. It's gunpowder, people. Beware.
Mike, if I say to you the name Ennio Morricone? Morricone, I think it is. Does it ring a bell?
He invented radio. No.
Mike, Ennio Morricone passed away at age 91. He wrote over 400 film scores, including A Fistful of Dollars, The Untouchables, Once Upon a Time in the West, The Hateful Eight, and you named it. Oh, maybe one of the best of all time. Good, Bad,
Good,
and
the
Bad, Ugly.
Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Mm-hmm. But if you look at his filmography of all the stuff he's done, it's like a science fiction project. Think of it. 400 film scores. And he has passed. But if he had just written this one, he would probably be remembered, I think.
Did he do The Nebraska Kid with Rick Dalton?
I think he did. I think
that's
he did
from
that.
Once upon a, that's from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
But he did work with Tarantino on The Hateful Eight.
Oh, by the way, you know.
Didn't I tell you I'm effing blind?
It's my latest Bruce Dern.
You know, that's great. Some I love point. When you do people in different eras, because you'd also do the young Bruce Dern. From
it touched me, you coming here today.
From The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
I love, you know, Brad Pitt, man. I mean,
he kills.
He is fine wine. He gets better with age. He really
and that
does.
Movie merits multiple watches. I mean, it's so good.
I think Quentin Tarantino, please don't stop making movies. Yeah. Please. All right, keep doing it. I love Tarantino movies. I can watch Tarantino movies again and again and again and again. They grow on you. And,
they do.
And the Kill Bill stuff, you know, I think that's been on cable for so long. But I've watched, Carla will come in and go, now when Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is on TV and she walks into the TV room, she goes, oh, God, again?
It's a great film.
Oh, my God, you can watch any 12 minutes of it and you're happy.
And I look at it and I go, again and again and again and again. You know? This tire, I'm going to get in trouble. Fix it.
We close with this. Mike, you know I love talking dogs, and huskies are very vocal dogs, right?
Oh, yeah, they really are.
And this is funny. This is a guy, and you talk to your dogs. I talk to my dog. I think we all talk to our dogs. This is a guy telling his dog that he doesn't want to go to the beach because he would be miserable. He says to the husky, "You'll be miserable if you go to the beach." The husky replies, "I hear him say, I will not be miserable." You just got to listen. This is a guy talking to his husky.
You would hate it. You would hate the beach. You would literally be miserable. Did you really just say, I won't be miserable?
I'm going to play it one more time because the dog says, I will not be miserable.
You would hate it. You would hate the beach. You would literally be miserable.
So that's your latest talking dog. That's your magic audio ball. Glad to be back. Be safe, everybody.
All right. Well, hey, don't forget our patron page on MikeOMaraShow.com. That's our new thing. We're trying to raise money to keep this little ship chugging along, and we will, hopefully, with your support. It's not desperate or anything.
No.
Anyway, for Rob Spielberg and Oscar Santana, sorry, got to be honest. This is Mike O'Mara saying we will be back tomorrow. So long, everybody.
So long.
See ya.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
You would hate it. You would hate the beach. You would literally be miserable.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
So what do you want me to do? Drop my pants and fire a rocket?
I'm a phony! Just like you!
Bye-bye!